Welcome to this month's installment of Author Audio, brought to you by Quality Progress Magazine and ASQ, the global voice of quality. My name is Mark Edmond, and I'm the Associate Editor of Quality Progress. This month, I'm speaking with the co-authors of June 2012's cover story, Up and Away. Tracy Owens is Lean Practice Leader at Ohio Six Sigma in Dublin, Ohio. Caroline Fritz is a Continuous Improvement Consultant at Kiva Collaboration in Simpsonsville, South Carolina. In the article, the two talk about the importance of innovation and ways to uncover ideas and spark creativity in your organization. Thanks for taking some time today to explain things, guys.
You're welcome.
One of the first points you make in the article is that creativity and ideas and innovation resides in all of us. We all have ideas, we can contribute to creative thinking, but sometimes there's hesitation or the ideas just don't flow out. Go over that some more and explain what can sometimes stymie the creative process.
Well, as you suggested, believe it or not, creativity really is inherent in everyone. The problem is, starting at, you know, around the age of five, society starts forcing everyone to answer questions a certain way in order to, quote unquote, get it right. In order to tap into creativity, people really need to first place themselves into a situation that allows them to relax a little bit. Once we're relaxed, creativity really just takes practice. We need to feel comfortable and secure in letting ourselves let go of our left brains and allow our minds to wander and think of what could be instead of what is. In the article, we mention a basic exercise to kick off pretty much any workshop, and it really helps to get participants' creative juices flowing. We call it thinking outside the mug. I like to take a regular coffee mug and ask everyone in the room to come up with at least 10 uses for the mug that don't involve drinking a beverage. It forces people to throw their structured definition of what is out the window and really start thinking about what could be.
Yeah, Caroline mentions shutting off your left brain for a while. It's interesting. At the 2011 ASQ World Conference in Pittsburgh, the conference team used masking tape to draw a 15 or 20 foot diameter labyrinth on the floor at a quiet end of the convention center. And when you walk through a labyrinth, unlike a maze, there are no choices. The path that you follow is clearly defined. So the rules are not your concern. And following this structured path allows your left brain to relax and your right, creative side, to kick into high gear. I came up with two new useful ideas just during the 9 minutes it took me to walk in and then walk back out.
Your article goes over five specific methods to get teams thinking creatively, formulating ideas and solutions. Some people might get hung up when you talk about building in structure around innovation and the creative process. The two don't seem like they should fit. When you think of creative thinking, it conjures up images of freewheeling brainstorming, like you said, thinking outside the box, that freedom. How can you build structure around what some say should be an open, unencumbered process?
Well, the creative process really needs to allow for just what you said. I mean, most importantly, you need that freewheeling brainstorming, as you called it. However, it's still a process, meaning that there needs to be a little definition around a couple of things, like the input to the process, what feeds into the process, which could be something like requirements for a brand new product. And there also needs to be a little bit of definition around how you take 100 off-the-wall, groundbreaking ideas and synthesize them into one grand slam.
Sure. Give listeners some quick highlights of the five methods you outlined in the article.
Well, the basic concept behind all of our methods is this, and this is a quote from Linus Pauling. The best way to get a good idea is to get a lot of ideas. One of the methods we discuss is called the seven ways process. It's a methodology born of the Toyota production system, and it's used to create a brand new process. And the basic premise is to allow a team to create a process, then for each step in the process, come up with seven completely different ways to perform each step. It's not always difficult to think of a new way of doing something, but to push a team to come up with seven completely different ways to accomplish the same task really forces them outside of any normal thinking pattern. Another method is called quick and easy Kaizen. And the idea here is that you ask every employee in an organization or department to come up with one or two or three ideas every single month that they can implement themselves that somehow improves the work process. You can focus on productivity improvement, safety, new products, or really any area that you want your employees' input. Employees share their ideas with one another. You allow employees to copy each other ideas, and this really allows for what might be a great idea for an improvement in one part of your organization to be implemented organization-wide. The deep dive is another structured approach to creativity that allows cross-functional teams to work together under time constraints to generate lots of ideas, to resolve a current issue, and then work through prototyping the solutions to see which of the ideas work best.
And then in setting up quality systems, your listeners will recognize that an organization can use Hoshin planning, where the strategic objectives of the company are shared with the staff, and then each department is asked to develop their action plans in order to achieve those objectives. Well, this philosophy can be used on a smaller scale to resolve a problem or to generate an innovation. You present the issue to the team and then allow them to catch the ball and give you their suggestions and ideas related to that topic. Giving the issue to the same set of problem solvers over and over to fix behind closed doors, maybe it's worked for a while, but it opens the team's leaders to two types of possible problems. One is, why are we sure that these problem solvers are the best ones to get the job done every time? Maybe they were great before. What about this problem? And the other one is, what about all those other people who we employ? Don't they have useful ideas too? If we leave the issue open for a week or two and then collect their ideas, see what value they have brought. That's one of our techniques. And then the fifth one is the $1 million meeting. It's a two-day workshop. It takes about 5 weeks to prepare for it. And the workshop drives innovation, value creation, and cost reduction by getting representatives from the functional disciplines into the same room to make decisions together. The first half day of the workshop is spent briefing each other on the subject matter in each discipline: marketing, service, R&D, operations, supply chain, finance, safety, packaging, delivery, and voice of the customer. The premise being that everyone knows his own area very well, but likely knows less about those other functions and their importance to the service or the product that's being delivered. Questions like what if and what else are asked by the group through the facilitator, and then they're grouped into possible solutions. Those groups are the just do it category, just make the change. The second category is that we're pretty sure we know what to do, we just need to test it first and make sure that it works and that there are no unintended consequences somewhere else. Third is to start a project because the solution is not obvious. And then there's a fourth category that's we need to study the issue further so we can understand the problem in detail before setting out to solve it.
So many of these ideas, many of these techniques, have to be familiar for some listeners. Why did you choose to focus on these five techniques? What makes them stand out in your estimation?
Well, frankly, they work. We've both led numerous creativity-based workshops and have pretty much seen firsthand what works and what doesn't work. And without fail, when you give a team a goal and force them out of their normal way of thinking, you get amazing results.
And it's best when you can actually give them the time to do it and create an environment of trust and confidence and mutual respect. Setting aside uninterrupted time for a group is just as important as blocking your own calendar for a period of time to catch up or to resolve an issue that's been nagging you for a couple of weeks.
Sure. You include some real-life examples in the article of teams using these methods to come up with ideas, come up with solutions to problems. Can you go over a few here right now?
Sure, Mark. Our small company example, actually, from the article is a chiropractic clinic here in Ohio. At Back to Health, they were looking for ways to differentiate themselves from their local competitors. So we put up the Hoshin Innovation Wall in the break room and asked the team of 9 people to contribute ideas on sticky notes as they thought of them over a period of a week. The question on the wall was, why would you choose Back to Health over a competitor? And within 3 days, the ideas filled the board, so we opened a second wall. The fact is, several of the ideas had already been discussed, but either the timing was not right, or there were other priorities, or the idea was only mentioned in passing, or the importance of the idea was just not understood. And then more of the ideas on the wall had never been shared out loud. your listeners will recognize this in their own worlds. Ideas are shared and not acted upon, so no more ideas are shared. This is the empowerment we spoke of in the article.
Okay.
Give your people a chance to contribute to a valuable goal. So we took the ideas contributed by the staff at Back to Health, structured their business processes to match the patient's priorities, and we've cut the time spent in the office. We've improved the accuracy of scheduling and of changes, and cleared up the billing, which was the most significant factor, even above time spent for treatment. The people who touch your customer are the ones who understand those touch points.
A theme we hear often is that companies, organizations must constantly be advancing, be innovating to keep up and try and get ahead of the competition. There's a few other articles in this month's issue that touch on that point. What can organizations do to promote innovation, involve everyone in the organization to meet that goal?
Well, I think most importantly, now I want everyone to write this down, call us. but seriously, set up a structured approach to pulling or pushing ideas from your employees. Give them the tools they need to make changes to their work processes. Sometimes that requires a little bit of training. In order to empower your employees. Give them a platform to share their ideas. And, you know, something that we sometimes overlook but does incentivize people is recognize them or reward them for their efforts.
That's right, Carolyn, recognition for sure. And then for us, Mark, any advice that we give in this form or any other, it really needs to be practical instead of just theoretical. So we would suggest take one of the five programs from the article and actually use it, put it to work. You won't know how well it works until you do it.
Let me add one more question. You said, Caroline, you should call us. Tell listeners about the committee that both you and Tracy are on for ASQ in regards to innovation.
Great. Yeah, we're very proud of the Innovation and Value Creation Technical Committee within ASQ's Quality Management Division. Peter Merrill and Jane Keithley are also in the June issue, published in the June issue with Innovation Articles. They are committee members as well. We've been speakers at the World Conference for the last 4 years in Anaheim as well. So we can be reached on the Quality Management Division website under Technical Committees.
Great. I'm glad we were able to include that information at the end. And I want to thank you again for taking a few minutes to give us some highlights from the article.
You bet.
And again, you can find the feature article Up and Away in June 2012's Quality Progress magazine, as well as at our website, www.qualityprogress.com. This is Mark Edmond of Quality Progress magazine, and thanks for listening.